Chapter 4 this morning, Philippians chapter 4. That is our memory verse for today, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And hopefully you've got that down pat. We're moving ahead with a new verse. Hopefully you've got the card. The cards are on the table if you didn't get one. Now I know, as I look through the chart this morning, that we've got about, 10, 12 people that have got all of them checked, and they're just being great, faithful, wonderful. It may have happened to you that you were moving right along, and you came across a verse that just killed you. And you thought, well, I've blown it. I might as well just quit. Don't do that. Okay? The verse for this week is relatively short. And Matthew 18, 20, for where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's a short one. And if you've kind of fallen by the wayside, so you're not going to memorize all 60. But don't quit. Pick up the card today and learn this one, and you'll know one more verse than you knew last year. Okay? And hang in there. A lot of the verses we go along are very familiar, and you can pick those up and review them and know them. I do need someone to help today in four-year-olds during church, a lady who could help. In four-year-olds, okay, good, thank you, appreciate that, good. We had three or four hands, that's a blessing, what a deal. I saw her first, I'm sorry about that. There are people today, in fact, I've had people tell me that the Bible is irrelevant to today, it's outdated. I mean, after all, the book was written like 2,000 to 4,000 years ago, right? I mean, how can that apply? I mean, to be honest with you, I have some woodworking books that my dad passed on to me. And to be honest with you, as I've looked through them and things, some of the stuff, things have changed. You know, and a lot of those things that may say in that book, they just don't apply to woodworking today. Things have changed. And people feel that way about the Bible. But I want to let you know this morning that the Bible is relevant to your life today. And I want to do a brief survey just to find out how relevant it is. How many of you, we started this lesson 2 weeks ago, how many of you have worried or struggled with worry in the last 2 weeks? You've worried in the last 2 weeks. Come on, I'm going to let you hold your hands. I'm going to wait. Raise your hand. Okay. You're ruining my whole illustration. Simple matter of fact is we all struggle with worry, don't we? So when we read something that Paul wrote almost 2,000 years ago, it is very relevant for us today. I mean, it's right where we live. And we spent, how many of you are hot? I turned it down a degree, but it still feels warm in here. And it's going to get warmer, too. What did you tell me, Dave? We've got 100 or 100 heaters in here. That's right. Warming it up. Good. All right. So we started this lesson, we talked about the command not to worry. For those who have memorized this verse or know the verse, how does Philippians 4, 6 start? Be careful for some things. Be careful about the big things. Be careful, don't worry about anything. And then we saw in Matthew chapter 6, what was that same phrase, or a phrase that translates the same Greek word? How is it translated in Matthew chapter 6? It says, take no thought, don't worry. You know, folks, simple matter of fact is, the Bible says worry is sin. Now, we like to justify worry. We like to say it's okay. But the Bible says it is sin. And the reason it's sin is because God tells you not to do it. And if God says not to do it and you do it, guess what? Yeah, whatever time we break the law. And worry is sin. And if you're like me, it's not something you set about to do. Well, I think today I'm going to worry. It just happens, doesn't it? I mean, you're moving along through life and all of a sudden you are consumed with worry. Something happens in your life, and you're consumed with worry. But the Bible says, folks, that it is sin. It is not of faith, it is fear. And whatsoever not of faith is sin. So we spent quite a bit of time on that. I want to remind you of the effects of worry spiritually, sin does what? What does sin do to your relationship? Now be careful. It doesn't affect your relationship, but it sure does affect your fellowship, doesn't it? Your sin separates you, and there is a fellowship problem when we have sin in our life. And so we don't want that. It also obviously affects us physically. And it won't take you long if you go online and read about how stress will affect every part. Every physical system you have is affected by stress. And there are people today who have terrible stomach ulcers and bleeding ulcers and all kinds of trouble because they are controlled by their worry. Socially, how does it affect us socially? Well, we act just like the world, don't we? And it ruins our testimony. What a tragic thing when a believer responds to difficulty the same way as an unbeliever. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. If you're working at the same job with somebody and you're right next to them and something terrible happens, you ought to have a total different response than an unbeliever has. You really should. So it affects us in that way. It also affects us because we don't give a right view of God. And this really struck me when I taught this 2 weeks ago. Have you ever thought about that? That when you worry, when you are consumed with fear about something, we're giving a wrong view of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did God put you here? Why did God save you? To glorify Him. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do ought to give a proper reflection of God, folks. And when I am consumed with worry and people see it, I'm not given a right view of God. I'm saying God's not in control. I'm saying God's not good. I'm saying God doesn't care. You thought about that? Now we don't verbally say it, but that's what our actions are saying. When I am consumed with worry, I am teaching that God can't take care of my need. Hey, I just want to remind you something. God's still on the throne. God still loves you. God still cares about you. God still has a perfect plan for your life. Folks, when we allow worry to consume our lives, we are destroying our testimony. We're not giving. We are failing in the one major thing God wants us to do, and that's to glorify Him. Because we're giving a wrong view of God. That's how serious this is. And also, finally, and I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, it'll bring spiritual paralysis. When you're worried about failure, how much are you going to serve the Lord? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. So, there is the command not to worry. Secondly, the cure for worry. The cure for worry. All right, if this is such a bad thing, we need to know how to solve it, don't we? How do you cure it? Well, I want to stop for a moment and think about how the world tells you to cure worry, okay? The secular answer to worry. What is it? Help me here. Give me one at a time. I heard a moment ago. What's that? Do what? A psychiatrist. Take a pill. What's it? Focus your attention. Okay? What else? Counseling. Okay? Alcohol. Okay? I wanted to help you. So I went online yesterday and went to the WebMD. I mean, here's the source, okay? I didn't search long for this. This was the first thing that I said, how do you conquer worry? Here's the first thing that came up from the WebMD. Number one, I have 9 worry-busting steps. Sounds good, doesn't it? All right, here we go. Number one is make a list of your worries. I guess that could be okay. Number two, analyze the list. See if the worries are productive or unproductive. See if it's something you can do something about or not, okay? Number three, and I'm not sure what this means, embrace uncertainty. Okay, I'm not really sure. I guess. This next one is a good one. Number four, bore yourself calm. Here's the illustration they give. You're afraid you're going to get cancer. And so you stand in front of the mirror and you say, I may get cancer, I may get cancer, I may get cancer until you get bored. This is true. Okay? I'm not making this up, okay? Here's the next one. Make yourself uncomfortable. Again, I don't know if it means you choke yourself or I'm not sure what that means. The next one says, stop the clock. Okay, help. Good luck. The next one says, remember that it's never as bad as you think it will be. Well, that's nice to say, but you know, there are times it's worse than you think it's going to be, you know. I like this one. This is number 8, in case you're writing these down. I hope you are. Hope you're not. Cry out loud. Doesn't that just kind of come naturally when you're worried? I mean, just let it. I guess that's what it is. Just let it out. Cry out loud. And then finally, talk about it. Find somebody to talk about your worries. Okay? So there you go. Let's pray and we're done. Okay? All right. You know the amazing thing about all those? Not one of them really deals with the problem. Not one of them change anything. It doesn't change anything. And it's all temporary, isn't it? Because see, I got bored talking to myself in the mirror, telling myself I'm not going to have cancer. You may have cancer. You may have cancer. Okay, I'm bored. I quit. But you know what happens in 10 more minutes? I'm not bored anymore. I got to go back to the mirror again. Oh, you may have cancer. You may have... What in the world? Goodness gracious. And by the way, all of those answers depend on whom to solve the problem. You, yourself, me, myself, and I. I don't know how it would be in the other terms. All right. Let me give you some spiritual answers, okay? Spiritual. Let me give you a general one, and then we'll look at the verse. The general one is... focus on today. Focus on today. Now, that's Bible, by the way. In Matthew chapter 6:34, it says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Again, what does that word take no thought mean? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. And he goes on to say, and this is, by the way, the Lord speaking, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What's he saying? Today, you have the power to deal with today. Right? And by the way, when God promises his grace to us, when is his grace good for? That's not a good way to say it. When he promises Mike grace, that grace is for next week. No, it's for today. My grace will be sufficient for you, and that's today. And to be honest with you, most of the stuff we worry about, when do we think it's going to happen? Well, tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. And the Bible says, take no thought, don't worry about tomorrow. I remember when I was in college, which is getting a longer way. Remember your first day of college? How many of you went to college? Remember the first day of college? You guys are in college. All right, you guys are getting ready to go back to college. You're in both, are you guys in finance or accounting? Finance, yeah, okay. All right, first day, Lee, of accounting. What do you get? What does the teacher give you? Yeah, and in that syllabus, typically, it has a list of what? Assignments for just today, right? No. The whole semester. Okay? Now you can go, oh my soul, how in the world am I going to make it and get all of this done? And you can just freak out and you can worry about it and worry about it. But really, what's the whole point of that thing? Here's what you need to do today. And tomorrow, here's what you're going to do tomorrow. And here's what you're going to do. And you worry about today. And by the way, Lee, if you'll take care of today's assignment, and then tomorrow you take care of tomorrow's assignment, and so forth, what's going to happen at the end of the semester? Everything's going to be done. Isn't that deep? And that's really how our life is. The Lord said, look, my grace is sufficient today. Take care of today. Do today what needs to be done today. Let God's grace help you today. Handle today's problems today. Now, am I saying it's wrong to plan? No. In fact, in Luke 14, the Lord said, you know, if you're going to build something, McGee's are building a house. Kind of. They're building a basement. They have a basement to live in. They're pretty excited about that. If you've got a tarp, they'd like to buy a tarp put over, they could live there and move it. You have what? Ah, good, good. Now, I remember when they were talking about building a house. And they were thinking about what? Money. Do we have enough money to build this house? Now, wouldn't it be foolish for them to say, you know, we're going to build a $190,000 house, and we have access to $50,000. Period. Now, what are they going to end up with? What they got right now. A basement. You know? That's exactly... No, it's not wrong to plan. I mean, it's not wrong to plan for the future. He talked about a king who's going to battle. And when you go to battle, he said, you got to count the troops. You don't take 200 guys or 300 guys against 100,000 unless you're Gideon. And go out and fight. You count the cost. You check it out. And by the way, good planning takes care of a lot of the worries, doesn't it? Yeah. Back to Lee here and his assignments. Lee can say, I got a whole semester. Piece of cake. And 2 weeks before the semester's over, he said, oh no, I got to get all this stuff done. Well, now he's in trouble. Now you should worry, because you're in big trouble. All that money's going to waste. But if he plans ahead, and he does, I'm going to do this tomorrow, I'm going to do that next day, it just works out great. So there's a general principle, but let's be real specific. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. So he says, look, here's the answer. You need to tell somebody about it. That, by the way, that was number 9 in our list of things to do. Tell somebody about it. It says we make our request. That word also can be translated to make a petition, something that is required. And he said you need to sit down and you need to tell somebody what you need, what you're required to have your needs met. Now, here's the great news. We're not just talking to anybody. Now, I could come to Mark Randolph here. I'll quit picking on Mike. I could come to Mark and I could say, here's my needs, man. Here's what I require. And he could say, good luck with that. Can't help you. Won't do it. But here's the great news. He doesn't say, don't worry, pray, petition, thanksgiving to Mark Randolph. Mark's glad about that. You're glad about that. It said, make your request known to God. Isn't it amazing how we tell everybody about our problems except the one who can do something about it? We gripe and we complain. Oh, it's terrible. I can't handle it. What's going to happen? Oh, and really, we're talking to the wrong person. Because they can't do a thing about it. He said, let your request be made known unto God. Now, what do you know about God? Well, God can do anything. It's interesting. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, "All Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Let me ask you a question, and this is not real specific. How many of you right now have a situation in your life that you need God's help with? How many? Now look around, folks. Let me tell you something. God can help you. God can help you. I don't even know what those problems are. I may know a few of them. Most of them, I don't even know. But I can tell you right now, the God who made the heavens and the earth, who sustains it all, who holds it all together, said, make your request to me. And he said, there's nothing too hard for me. Isn't that amazing? I'm sure there are many times in my life that I went to my dad and I said, Dad, boy, I really need this. And he had to say, good luck. Can't help you. Can't do it. Don't have the power. Don't have the resources. Can't do it. Aren't you glad, Mark? that you've never gone to God and God has said to you, sorry, Mark, don't have the resources, don't have the time. And to be honest with you, Mark, I really don't care. Aren't you glad God has never said that to you? Now, you may feel like it, but it's not true. Luke 18:27 says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, the question I have for you, how do you take a situation that is with men and make it with God? With God, all things are possible. So how do you make it with God? This is not a trick question. You pray. You pray. And the great thing is, you know, all that junk I read you, those 9 worry-busting steps, not one of them can change the situation. It can't change the people. It can't change the circumstances. But I got great news for you. God can. God can change any circumstance. God can change any person. He can. And if he doesn't, he can give you the grace to get through it. Now, I'm not saying God will. I'm saying God can. Do you believe that? Those of you that raised your hand, do you believe that God can? Now, doesn't that bring comfort to your heart? And you can make a request known to the one who can do anything. Now, how do you do it? He gives us 3 very specific things. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by, number one, by prayer. Now, what is prayer? What does it mean to pray? How would you define prayer? Well, John R. Rice had a book about prayer. Anybody know what he entitled it? Asking and Receiving. It's all right. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask. You shall receive, or given you, seek, you shall find, knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now, who can pray? Who has the right to come to God and have their needs met? Who is this book? Who is the book of Philippians written to? Christians, Philippi. Now, here's the amazing truth, folks. Every believer has the right to come to God with their request. You know, in the Old Testament, we've studied the tabernacle and the temple. And obviously, there's a Holy of Holies where the presence of God was. And who got to come in the Holy of Holies? The high priest. How often? Once a year, and probably once in a lifetime. Now, here's the amazing thing. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, what happened to the veil? Torn, yeah. Aren't you glad it wasn't torn bottom to top? Top to bottom. God rent the veil, signifying that a way had been made into the Holy of Holies for every believer. Isn't it amazing to think about this, folks? As a believer, you have the right to come into God's presence and request what you need. Isn't that amazing? In fact, in Hebrews, turn to Hebrews 4. Hold Philippians. We'll be back there in a second. But because Christ is our high priest, you have the right to come to the very presence of God. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, this is an amazing verse. Ephesians 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, look what you can do. Let, what's the next word? Us, okay? You be us, all right? That's you, all right? We are us, okay? Let us, therefore, come fearfully under the throne of grace. Hey, let me ask you a question. When the high priest went to the Holy of Holies, you think there was some fear involved? You better believe there was. If things weren't right, he was a dead man. Remember they tied a rope around his leg? For what purpose? If the bells quit ringing, pull that boy out of there, you know? It was a dangerous job. You better be right when you win the Holy of Holies. And yet, here we are as New Testament believers, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow, what a verse. If you've not memorized that verse, you need to. Come boldly to the throne of grace, and you can receive help in time of need. Wow. You can pray. You can take your request to the Lord. Oh, by the way, not only is our high priest, but he's our Father. He's our Father. In Romans 8, he talks about Abba, Father. And if you're a believer today, you're a child of God. And you, as children, have a right to come to the Father. And in Matthew chapter 7, he said, look, you come to me and you ask for a fish. What am I going to give you? A serpent? No, not going to happen. If you ask for bread, am I going to give you a stone? Not going to happen. We have the right to pray. And I remember hearing this years ago. Through prayer, you can move the hand of God. Wow. Wow. He said, don't worry. But come boldly, he said, and pray and bring your request to the Lord. And look what else he says. And supplications. What's a supplication? It's a specific request. And by the way, I hope when you pray, you don't just pray in general, Lord, bless all the missionaries. Now, what does that mean? Lord, bless my children. Oh, what does that mean? Be specific in your prayers. And I was thinking about this week. Turn your care list into a prayer list. That's original right there, folks. Write that down. Put GS, Gary Seaman, right there. I just said that. Take your care list, turn it into a prayer list. Take your worry list and make it a prayer list. Wow, what a deal. Lord, I'm concerned about this. Lord, I need your help. Here it is, Lord, specifically. Here's what I need. Lord, here's the problem. And aren't you glad in James 5:16, he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I tell you, folks, this is not my notes. We are missing out on one of the greatest resources that we have as believers because we don't pray. We are consumed with worry. We're upset. We're miserable. Everybody around us is miserable because we are consumed with worry, and it's all because we don't pray. Take your burden to the Lord. Hallelujah. And leave it there. Leave it there. Your petitions. And then there's one more. And this is the one we don't do. Now, this is not to be done after the prayer is answered. This is to be done, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's interesting. What does that mean? So I have a need. I have a financial need. I need $5,000. And I go to the Lord and I pray and I say, Lord, here's this need. And Lord, I've been faithful in tithing. I've been faithful in giving the faith promise. Lord, I've been doing what you want me to do. And all of a sudden, boom, here's $5,000. Lord, I need $5,000. But he says, pray with thanksgiving. What does that mean? Prayer hasn't been answered. I don't have $5,000. I think that's what we think sometimes. Oh, okay, once God answers the prayer, then you thank him. I don't think so. I mean, that's part of it. You should do that. But this is when you make the request with thanksgiving. Help me here. What does it mean? Ahead of time? Okay. I think that's part of it. Thankful. So we're thankful for who he is. What else? Okay. What about thankful for what he's done in the past? Doesn't that encourage your heart? God, I remember when I had this need before, and I prayed and you met the need. And God, I thank you for who you are and your power. And I thank you that you're a loving God. And you're a caring God. And God, you've made a way for me to come into the very holy place. And God, you're a wonderful God. And you know what this has turned into? Worship. And when you worship properly, what are you doing? 1 Corinthians 10:31, what are you doing? You're glorifying God. Right? Have you thought about that? And Lord, as I come to pray, God, you know my need. God, I can't handle it. There's nothing I can do about it. But God, I know you can. You're a great God. You're a mighty God. Oh, you've helped me in the past. Lord, I know you're going to help me again. God, I just exalt you and I worship you. And you know what happens when you start worshiping? You get the right view of God. And what happens to the worry? When you are focused on who God is, what happens to the worry? Come on, folks. And that's good, Jim, because when God is big, what about your worries and your problems? Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I've known this verse for years, and I've never really seen the importance of a thanksgiving. Because when you're praying and you're bringing your request to God and you're doing it with thanksgiving, now it's worship. And when you're worshiping God and you have a right view of God, there's no worry. There's no worry. Anytime I'm consumed with worry, I know I've got a wrong view of God. I'm focused on the problem and not on the one that can solve the problem. And so he says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you want to know what that produces? Come back next week. Or you can look in the Bible. And we're going to talk about it next week because it's amazing. It's amazing when you follow God's prescription for worry, the outcome is amazing. The outcome, and we'll spend the whole week. I really wanted to try to combine this into 1 week, and I saw very quickly it would not be possible. So this week, let me encourage you. Everyone that raised their hand earlier, let me encourage you, be careful for nothing. But in whatever it is you raise your hand about, take it to the Lord with prayer and supplication. And with thanksgiving. And when you have thanksgiving, you focus on who God is, what God has done, what God can do. And my friend, when you start doing that, you're going to find out God will do something amazing, amazing in your life. Okay? All right. Lord, thank you for prayer. Thank you for this great verse. And Lord, I pray that as believers we would practice it. Help me to practice what I'm preaching. God, help me to be a man who doesn't worry, but comes to you in prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. And Lord, may we truly be people who worship you in spirit and in truth. And may you be glorified in our lives. May we give everyone around us a right view of our God. And Lord, help us, I pray, for those that raise their hands today with great needs. God, help them to follow the prescription for peace in this passage. And Lord, may they be helped this week, I pray. Even before we come together and talk about it, may they find the answer, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.